Luke 17, and we're going to be starting at verse 11. Luke 17, 11 says this. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village. He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, this is not a parable. This is an account of Jesus healing 10 lepers and one returned to give praise and worship. And while this is not a parable, I do believe that we would miss some treasure if we only look at it on the surface. If we only look at it as a physical healing, I think we would miss something. And my studies seem to indicate others thought this way as well. I think there is a great help here in this account, and again, we find ourselves in this account. When you read the scriptures, I think it's just helpful for you to look for yourself. Where do you fit in this? Who are you? Which character are you in relation to Christ? It can be very helpful. So let's look at this account and see what we can find. So, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And I just think, again, just something helpful there, just to note that this is often the case, that Jesus was often passing along. He was often passing through. Jesus didn't often stay in any one place for too long. And if you're waiting for another time to trust him, thinking, well, he may come along again, I may get another opportunity, the message of Christ may come across my ears at another time, I would tell you to not think this way. He was passing along, and he may not come your way again. But as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Now, this is one verse, but there are three things of significance in this one verse that I would like to point out to you. One, what they were, how many there were, and where they were. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. So first, what they were. What were they? They were lepers. Now, as we read the scriptures, there are some words that don't hit us, and they should. Some words that go in one ear and out the other. The last time I was before you, I spent a little bit of time talking about tax collectors. This word leper is like one of those words that needs some unpacking, because in our day, we just don't come across many lepers. But I think we need to pause here for a moment. And I'm not aware of how informed you are on leprosy. And I thought I knew a lot about it until I started studying and realized I was misinformed, as many people are, because there's a common misconception about leprosy is that it's kind of like a flesh-eating disease, and it just causes parts of your body to just fall off. Anybody ever heard something like that? That this is what it does. It just causes limbs to just fall off. Well, that's not actually true. And what I found out was actually it's much worse. This one of the main things that this disease does is that it causes nerve damage. And the nerves, right, those are the things that send the signals to your brain that say pain. there is something wrong. You need to take your hand off of that. Well, leprosy causes nerve damage that causes you to not feel pain. It causes you to not know when something is going on. It basically makes you numb to things that you don't need to be numb to. So imagine the person with leprosy. They cause them to go throughout their life touching things, coming into contact with things that are deadly, that cause serious injury, that can even cause death, and they don't know it. I saw a video of this one leper, and she would often fall into the fire and be unaware, and she had the burns to prove it. Others would grab things that were extremely sharp, and they would cause gashes in their flesh and be unaware. Some would step on things that would impale their foot, rusty nails and the like, and they're completely unaware. And as you know, as anyone who has any knowledge of the medical field will tell you, when there's a wound, when there's a gash, when there's a burn, there's a critical need to avoid infection. Well, if you don't know that you're bleeding, if you don't know that you've just been burned, if you don't know that you've just stepped on a rusty nail, you're not going to think about infection. And this is what happens. The wounds get infected, seriously infected, gangrene, and that is why when you look at lepers, they are without limbs, is because they have to be amputated, because they become so infected they are unaware, and something had to be done. There's a numbness. They cannot feel what is wrong with them. And since they can't feel what is wrong, they won't do anything to protect themselves. And as I began to study leprosy, I began to think, you know what? Isn't that just like humanity? Isn't it true that just like the leper, mankind is numb to danger, to the serious reality that is at hand? Numb and unfeeling to the state of their souls. Unable to feel the weight of their sin. Unable to see their desperate need for a Savior. Unaware that looming right above them is the very wrath of God, and they don't see the danger, they don't feel the danger, and so they continue on. Maybe you're in this room and that's you. You have no feel for the danger you're in. Mankind continues this very morning, going on throughout life, stepping on the broken glass of pride, falling into the burning coals of lust, and feeling nothing at all. Think about yourself. As you came here this morning, brothers and sisters, how many people did you pass mowing their lawn, out for a jog, sitting on the corner, just chilling? No desire to come and sit under the Word of God. No understanding that eternity is at the very door. Death's hand is on the knob turning. They are unaware. They don't feel it. But just because they don't feel it, it doesn't make it any less true. And we who are in Christ, we can look at them, we can look at you and see things are not well. Things are not okay with you. It's like the girl who has anorexia, and she looks at herself in the mirror and she sees, I'm overweight. But everyone else sees that she is skin and bones and close to death. That is what it's like for those who have spiritual leprosy. What else is true of the leper? Not only were they numb to their pain, numb to the danger, numb to the infection that was coursing through their body, but they also lived in isolation. They lived on the outskirts. They were alone. They lived in leper colonies, unable to enter into society, unable to have a normal life. They may look at relationship and long for it, but it escapes them. They may look at a profession and desire to work, but they're unallowed. They are not welcome. They are on the outskirts. They're outcasts. The disease has prevented them from all things except misery. And again, I couldn't help but see a similarity to those who have spiritual leprosy. The reality that you're alive, but outside of Christ, you've never lived a day in your life. And you can do all the things that other people do, and you can have relationships, and you can work, and you can do all these things. But it's tainted. You're prohibited from realizing the true nature of love and life and relationship. And those of us who are in Christ, we have something that makes everything new, that changes everything. Lepers were poor. They lived in filth. They were horrid to look at. Children would run away screaming when they saw a leper because of the horrific nature of the disease. And not only that, but they carried with them a stench. And you can understand why. I mean, aside from just being in this horrible disease, the living conditions, they were poor. They were not able to afford the things that come with wealth. They lived in squalor. They ate scraps. They wore rags. But this is also a third world reality. And so these wounds that would go untreated, uncleaned, they began to stink. And maggots would fall out of these wounds. It was a disgusting picture, and it carried with it a stench and an odor that could be smelled from quite a distance away. You see them? Their dirty bandages, the dried, caked up blood. The leper, unfeeling, hideous to behold, filthy, poor, foul smelling. There they are. The sight, the smell, even the sound. You see, leprosy, it also affected the respiratory system. Thank you. Respiratory. It affected their voice. It caused them to have a raspy, rough sounding voice, and their everything about them, the sight, the smell, even their touch, it was like touching scales. The point is, every single aspect of their life was affected by the disease. There was nothing about them that was untouched by this. And if you are without Christ, they are you, because sin affects every single part of you. It affects every part of you. There is not a part of your life, not an inch of your life that goes untouched by sin. And in your sin, you are the most ugly and hideous and disgusting creature spiritually. Isaiah talks about all of your righteous deeds being as filthy rags. To your friends, you're lovely. Family, you're precious and beautiful. Maybe even to your church, you've been able to cover yourself in a mask, but God sees you as you truly are. And you're a leper. Not just what they were, but I also think that it's important that how many there were. There were 10 lepers. And I thought that it's interesting that the only description of them is the number. The only description of these lepers is how many. The Bible is not foreign to the idea of lepers. Uzziah, who was a king, was stricken with leprosy. Naaman, famous Syrian commander, he also had leprosy. A king, a commander. These are important people. But here, we're not told, okay, there was a doctor, a lawyer, there was a teacher, there was a thug, a gang member, a police officer. No. We're not given those categories. They're only described by how many there were. There were 10. And it's true, in our world, we like to put people in all these categories, all these different divisions. Especially nowadays, there's so many divisions, so much to separate on. Pro-Trump, never Trump. Black lives, white lives, homeschool, public school, vaccine, no vaccine, Bloods, Crips, first world, third world. I'm a patriot. I'm woke. The divisions are endless. But here, notice, brethren, there is equality. They are all equally lepers. No titles, no distinctions, no categories. The Lord unites all who are outside of Christ under one category: lost, condemned, sinner, dead in your sins, unforgiven. Many names, but they all scream the same reality. You're a leper. And whatever details you want to add after that really don't matter. Because what does it matter if you're a king if you're a leper? What does it matter if you're a businessman if you're a leper? What does it matter if you're a soldier if you're a leper? It doesn't matter what you are or what you think you are, what other people call you, if you are a leper. Whatever backgrounds may be different, your condition is the same. The only thing that matters when you're stricken with leprosy is that you have leprosy. And their identification was in their disease and in their number. There were 10 of them. That's what matters. Not your title or what category you identify with. How many souls? That's the issue. How many souls are stricken with spiritual leprosy in here? And if we find out that you're stricken with spiritual leprosy, all the rest of the trappings of life don't matter. You are a soul who is in need of a Savior. You're among the number. And you're no better if you live in a mansion or if you live on the street. A leper is a leper. It doesn't matter if you have education or culture. It doesn't matter if you have a million followers on all social media. It doesn't matter any of that. The only thing we needed to know about these souls is their condition and how many of them that there were. And then where they were. It says they stood at a distance. They had to. It was law. Custom. Because leprosy is very contagious, especially by touch or by droplets if you're coughing. They had to be away from everyone. But again, the spiritual condition. Because you may be just like them today. You're standing at a distance from Christ. And you've been there your whole life. Perhaps you're looking at your sores. You look at your condition. You're thinking, I'm too dirty to come to Him. I'm too far gone to come to Him. Your hands are gone, after all. Your feet are gone. Everything is wasting away. You don't have a nose anymore. You look at your body, you smell yourself. You're hideous to yourself. How could you possibly approach the beautiful one? You may tell yourself, and so you stay at a distance. Or maybe you look at the Christian community. You look around here, and there's certain people that you admire. Maybe someone who invited you or a family member, and you look at their life, and you look at them, and you say, they're so clean. They're so healthy. They're so pure. And you look at yourself and you say, there's no way I can join in with that number. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. That's not really a secret at all. All of us were lepers. Christ cleansed us. Any good you see in us is because Christ has done it. And what He's done for us, He will and can do for you if you would come to Him. Do not stay at a distance. And if you are at a distance, don't let that stop you. It didn't stop these 10. Look at verse 13. Notice. So they stood at a distance, these 10 lepers, and they lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. This is very good. Jesus is passing by. He's not staying around. He's only passing through. He's headed to Jerusalem, and these 10 lepers, they see him. They don't waste any time discussing whether or not this is the right time. Should we do it now? None of those conversations. They don't wait until, okay, well, let's wait until he's closer. They don't say, you know what, I want to, but I'm going to wait until I have some alone time with him. They agreed. He's our only hope. He's our only rescue. And notice, they didn't ask for healing. They didn't ask for their leprosy to be removed. They didn't ask for a miracle. They asked for mercy. And with their scratchy, raspy voices, they groaned together, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." It must have sounded terrifying to us, but this was a sweet symphony to Christ. Their scratchy and raspy and ugly voices together asking for mercy. Think of that. They had to believe certain things to do this. They had to believe that he could actually give them mercy. They called him Master. They had to believe that he was able to heal them of leprosy. I don't know if you're familiar with the account of Naaman and this, that I mean, that you've read it recently. Because when I went back and looked at it, there was a letter that went with Naaman from the king of Syria. And this is what it said. This is 2 Kings 5 and 6. Listen to this. "And he brought the letter," that's Naaman, "to the king of Israel, which read, 'When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy.'" So the king of Israel gets this letter from the king of Syria, and they're running things. And he says, "Look, here's my servant. He has leprosy. Get rid of that. Get rid of that for him." But here's the response of the king of Israel. "And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me.'" He's like, this man wants a fight. He knows, how can I heal a man of leprosy? Am I God? What's the implication? Only God can heal leprosy. And here are these 10. Jesus passing by, they see him together collectively in a chorus. They cry out to him, "Have mercy on us, Jesus, Master." They had to believe he could heal them. They had to believe he was Master. They had to believe that he was merciful. They had to believe that he was kind and good, and that he would notice them. Matt McDonald, when I walked in, gave me a big hug, and he said, "Brother, 1 year ago, you were heading to India." And I'm like, yeah, that's right. And I remember that Leanne Wilkinson, because before I went, I had never been to India. I didn't know what to expect. Leanne Wilkinson, she told me, she said, "When you get there, see if you can find the untouchables." And I'm, what are the untouchables? Well, in the Indian caste system, there are 4 castes. And then below the lowest caste, there are the untouchables. They don't even fit into a caste. And they are seen as so below humanity, so low in society, that they are not to be looked at, fed, or touched. It's horrible. She said, there are people who live over there, children on the streets, and people will just step right over them. They're the untouchables. She said, see if you can go find one, show love of Christ to them. It's kind of like what it was like to be a leper. It's kind of like what it was like for lepers. They were the untouchables. People wouldn't look at them. They would ignore them. They wouldn't feed them. They wouldn't be kind to them. They wouldn't even get near them. They could stomach the smell or the sight. They had to believe that even though all of society saw them as untouchable, they had to believe that Jesus would not treat them as such. They had to believe that they would cry out to him and he would notice them. He would see them. They believed something about Christ that moved them to cry out for mercy. And as you sit here with your sores leaking, your wounds stinking, your disease coursing through your body, will you join the chorus of lepers crying out to Jesus today for mercy? You've heard so much about him today already. In the singing, you heard of his compassion, of his mercy, of his love. In the preaching, you heard of how he took the wrath of God. You heard about his humility. You heard about how he helps. In the taking of the Lord's Supper, we heard of his blood that was poured out, of his love, of his kindness. You heard so much about Christ. This truth, as you hear it, as you see it, as you heard the song, and maybe even you sang it yourself, will you see his strength to withstand the wrath of God? Will you see his promises to save you and keep you and cry out to him? All around the world, literally, right now, there are spiritual lepers who are crying out for mercy. Will you join your voice with theirs? Will you join the chorus? Why not? You're going to allow him to pass by? You're going to say maybe he'll come again? Will you let him pass you by when lepers all around you are crying out for mercy and find yourself facing the wrath of God? Why would you do such a thing? To be left only with regret for missing the opportunity to join your voice? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Will you remain silent when your fellow lepers cry out? Well, verse 14, good news. When he saw them, that's comforting for people who have often been overlooked and ignored, neglected and unseen. He saw them. He sees you too. Maybe no one else has ever really seen you, but he sees you. Ma'am, sir, child, he sees you. If you cry out to him, he sees you. And he sees you clearly. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Naaman was told, Jordan, wash yourself 7 times. Earlier in this very Gospel of Luke, in chapter 5, listen to this account. This is 5:12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. But that's not what Jesus does to these 10. He doesn't tell them to go wash. He doesn't touch them. He doesn't say anything about offerings or sacrifices. Just go and show yourselves to the priests. At the men's retreat, our brother Leiter, he pointed out to us that sometimes the way Christ healed some is not the way he healed others. And it's an error if you go to him saying, I saw for them the way you did it, I want you to do it that same way for me. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Jesus doesn't deal with us like cookies. When people make a bunch of cookies, there's a cookie cutter. You got the dough, cookie cutter, all look the same. That's not how Jesus deals with us. And that's such a kind figure, because he could, but he doesn't. He deals with us as individuals, with individual pain, individual needs. You know, he deals with us according to the situations that we're in. Thank you, brother. In a way that he can best be glorified in it. He exposes certain things about ourselves. The way he dealt with the rich young ruler, that's not the way he dealt with the woman at the well. And the way he dealt with the woman at the well is not the way he dealt with Nicodemus. And what he said to Nicodemus is not how he dealt with his disciples when they were. He deals with us in a unique way. Here he told them, go present yourselves, no touch, no offering, no washing. And they had to have faith. They took him at his word and went. And it doesn't say that they were healed and they went. They had to go without seeing any evidence of it. All they had was his word to go off of. Will you trust the word of Christ and go forth according to his command even before you see evidence of anything? Don't wait until you feel repentant. Repent. Don't wait until you feel sorrowful for your sin. Turn from it now in your hearts, in your very seat. Don't wait until you feel forgiven. Trust in him. Believe in him. Believe his word. Because it says, and as they went, they were cleansed. This is amazing. They cried out to him in faith. They had right doctrine, right? They said, Master. They believed he was able. They cried out from that knowledge, and he tells them, go, show yourself to the priest. And they go and obey without even being healed yet. They go forward. And then, suddenly, limbs that were not there are there. Suddenly, nubs are grown into full limbs. Suddenly, the wounds that were festering and where maggots were pouring out, instantly healed. The stench that was coming from them, gone. They couldn't feel the ground under their feet, and now they feel the ground. Suddenly, they're able to feel and touch and smell and sense things that they had never been able to before. As they're going along, they're realizing we're healed. They're looking at each other like, you got a nose. You got hands. That's amazing. This is going as they're going. This group of 10, hunched over, foul-smelling, deformed lepers, suddenly transformed into upright, clean, whole people before each other's very eyes. Amazing. What thoughts do you think course through their minds? Oh, the dreams that they thought were unreachable. Now, suddenly, potential. I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to marry that girl, but she wouldn't have me. But now, oh, I've always wanted to go to this place and I wasn't welcome. Oh, but now, suddenly, all the doors are opening up before them. All the possibilities, all the potential. Now, I finally got what I've always wanted. Now, I can finally be what I've always wanted to be. Imagine it. They're going, and all the doors that were closed to them have suddenly swung wide open. They can do what they want now. They can go where they want, be who they want. They could reach their dreams. Because when you're a leper, there's not much hope for the future, but now that you're healed, they wanted health, freedom, and the disease that hindered them is now gone. I've seen a similar thing happen to men. Become exposed to truth. You sit under the preaching of the gospel. You are unfeeling. You are numb to all the things of God. You are uncaring, unconcerned. And you sit under the preaching, and then suddenly something starts to awaken in you. A conscience comes alive that you didn't feel before. Now you're starting to feel bad about things. You're hearing about hell and you're like, suddenly I'm afraid of that. You're starting to hear about Jesus and you're like, suddenly that's attractive. And now you're starting to feel things you never felt. Now you want to go to church. Now you want to sing the songs. Now you want to go evangelize. Now you want to pray. Now you want to read your Bible. Suddenly things are waking up that were numb. You're able to feel inwardly. Now you see the potential because you've been a horrible husband. You've been a terrible father. You have been a wicked child. But now I'm under the preaching and I'm starting to feel stuff and now you see the potential. Now I can be what I've always wanted to be. See Jesus and believe he's really able. You hear about the cross and you say, I believe that that can actually save me. You look at the gospel and you say, I really do believe that is good news. And perhaps even now, even this morning, you came in numb. But in the course of the day, so you're starting to feel things you never felt before. And maybe things are waking up inside of you. Maybe your conscience, some conviction is starting to awaken. But what will you do with that? What will you do with the awakening of your conscience? What will you do with this newfound conviction? What will you do with these feelings that you never felt before? Verse 15, we find out what one of them does. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. They were all awakened to their feeling. They were numb before, and now they can feel. They were all healed of their leprosy. They were all given what they wanted. But only one of them awakened to this newfound reality, turned around. And we get some extra insight that he wasn't just a leper, but he was a Samaritan leper, which means he was even more unwelcome. The Jews didn't want him around. The Romans didn't want him around. The Greeks didn't want him around. He couldn't go to the temple, not just because he was a leper, because he was a Samaritan. He was unwelcome. His condition was bad. And it was made worse when we found out he was a Samaritan. He didn't fit in anywhere. Outcast, but Jesus saw him. Jesus heard him. Jesus gave him mercy. He heard his cry. His leprosy was gone. Now he can feel. Now he can finally shout. The raspiness is gone. And for the first time, he has a real voice. And what does he do with it? What does he do with his new voice? He shouts to God in praise. What does he do with his ability to finally feel? He runs to Christ. What does he do with these hands that are there now? Oh, he drops. He drops his face, his hands, his feet, his body before the feet of Christ and worships him. That's what he did. The rest kept going. But he couldn't keep going. He couldn't keep going. He had to turn back. There was no command to return. Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priests. He didn't say, come before me and worship. He didn't say, fall at my feet. Why did he do it? It was a desire within him. The Lord was kind to him. The Lord noticed his plight. Though he had done nothing to deserve mercy, nothing to deserve that gift, nothing to deserve that kindness, Jesus did it for him anyway. And that was powerful to him. That mattered to him. That stood out to him. I wasn't small. He recognized that Christ was compassionate, and it moved him to worship, to surrender, to repent, turned from his way and fell at his feet. He received the blessings of God, but you know what? The blessings of God
were not enough for him. He received the gift of the Lord, but that wasn't enough. That gift drew him to the ultimate gift, which is Christ himself. Before the healing, before the kindness, he was at a distance, right? But once he tasted and saw that the Lord was good, he is as close to Christ as he can get. The fact that his friends didn't go with him did not hinder him. They were tight. They were in their suffering together. Hey, we're lepers. They cried out together. They confessed together. They asked for mercy together. They went to the priest together. Started to, but oh, the fact that they didn't want to go with him did not stop him. Peer pressure is strong. It's a powerful force, but it was not strong enough to stop him from going to the one who had mercy on him. He knew he received mercy from Christ. He received the kindness from Christ, and it drew him to repentance. Isn't that what his kindness is meant to do? His kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. Maybe he was thinking, if he can heal me of this outward ugliness, then I know he is able to heal me of this inward ugliness. If he can, with a word, wipe away all the filth of my skin disease, then I am confident that he is able to wash away my sin disease. Have you noticed the mercies of God to you? Have you kept track of the kindness and compassion that has been shown to you? Have you seen what he's done for you? When was the last time you spent an hour of your day thinking about the kindness of Christ that he's given you life? Just an hour. A movie is longer than an hour. When was the last time you just spent an hour thinking, he gave me life. He gave you the ability to think. He has showered you with compassion. If you are not a Christian, think about the fact that you are not in hell right now. That's huge. Does that stagger you? You deserve to be under the wrath of God forever. Right now, not tomorrow, now you should be forever in eternity under his anger and his fury and his wrath, and you're sitting in this room. That's mercy. That's mercy to you that he shows you. While you are in your sin, he's showing you mercy. You have spent millions, literally millions and millions and millions of moments in wickedness and rebellion against the King of all kings. You wear a crown on your head and you sit on a false throne, refusing to bow the knee to the king. And you live. And you breathe. And you're hearing this message, and still you have not repented and you have not been swallowed up by the ground. Mercy. He has shown you mercy. And when was the last time you've fallen on your face and said thank you for any of this? Maybe never. My friend, this leper noticed the kindness of Christ and it moved him to action. The others noticed the kindness of Christ as well, but no action was found in them. They cried out for mercy. They started good. But no action was found. a leper and a Samaritan, yet there was mercy and healing and salvation even for him. There is hope for you. Do you feel the sting of your guilt? Do you feel it now? Can you see the reality of your soul? Are you mindful of the eternity that awaits you and the cost that was paid so that sinners can be saved? Are you aware? Can you see Jesus? Jesus, the Lamb of God, the perfect Son of God, the beloved of the Father. Do you see him there on the cross hanging? They beat him. And they beat his face to where unrecognizable crown of thorns on his head, spit down his face. They ripped his beard out. He's hanging up naked while people point and laugh. He's bearing all the weight and the shame. He's drenched, dripping wet with the lava of God's burning fury. He's doing this for his enemies. This is the cost that sinners might be saved. This is mercy that is offered to you. This is compassion that has been presented and displayed for you. Will you look at this? Will you see this? Will you recognize that mercy has been given? And will you just continue on your way, or will you be like this one leper who could not look at the mercy, at the kindness, at the compassion, could not look at that and just continue on? But says, no, I can't keep going. I gotta go back. He loved me. He loved me. I don't deserve it. And he was up there for you, for your selfishness and your idolatry and your sexual immorality, for you. Are you content with just feeling bad about it? Are you satisfied with just the feeling? Can you hear your conscience screaming at you? I'm awake. Do something with me. Don't go back to sleep. Do you hear it inside? It's not well with our soul. You know it. You know we're not well. We've been pretending. We've been faking. It's a lie. You've been hiding. Things aren't good with us. Are you content to live with that voice screaming in your head? It's been awakened. These lepers who were numb, now they can feel. Will you come close? Because many have done the same thing. Some of us know them personally. They sat with us. They went evangelizing with us. They prayed with us. Everything looked good. And they went back to the world. Something was awakened. Something was started. But they continued on their way instead of going to Christ. Jesus responds. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you." That word for made you well, cured you, it is actually literally the word for saved you. This is the word that's used throughout the New Testament for salvation. He has already been healed of his leprosy. He has already been cured of his disease. What this man received was an eternal cure, an infinite healing. Going back, falling before the feet of Christ, he received something that the others did not. He received eternal life. They received healing of their leprosy, but he received healing of his spiritual leprosy as well. They started well. The others, they cried out with him. They confessed the proper creed, "Master." They even received the benefits of the kindness of Christ with him. They were all, as they went on their way, they were healed. But they didn't return with him because they were content to take his blood. conscience awakened a bit. The numbness of leprosy is gone and they can feel now, but that's it. And this is a constant picture that we see in the scripture and that we see in the world. So many people just want to use Jesus for his stuff, but they care nothing for him. They pray to God because they just want something from him. They don't love the master, only what's on the master's table. And many churches are preaching this false doctrine. God is an ATM machine to them. Type in the right thing and out comes what you want. And then you go on your way until you need something else. In the wilderness, this is how Israel treated God. Constantly, give us rescue from our enemies. Give us treasure. Give us victory. Give us this. Give us a land. Give us that. And yet the Lord said of them, their heart is far from me. In the Gospels, we see the same thing. The crowds, oh yeah, the crowds, they wanted to be around Jesus. Why? Because he's going to heal them. Because he's going to feed them. They wanted him to, oh, they were tired of the Roman oppressive, systematic oppression on them. And they wanted him, conquer Rome. Get their foot off of us. That's why they were following him. But they didn't love him. They just wanted to use him for their own means. Because those are the same people that were screaming out for his blood. They didn't want him. Will you be like the crowds that gathered around Jesus for his stuff? Or will you be like the few, so few, that will fall before his feet and worship him, surrendering all to him because they see him as truly precious? He is the treasure that is worth selling all that I have to possess. Do you see his beauty and his majesty? Thursday, we know it's going to happen. Thanksgiving, many people are going to give thanks to God for many things. And just like the other 10 lepers, they're going to notice they've been given gifts by the Lord. Those 9 lepers, they were given gifts. Healing. And on Thursday, it's a common thing for people to thank God for all manner of things. Thank God for physical blessings. You saved me from a car crash. You saved me from losing my job. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for my job. Thank you, God, for freedom. Thank you for health. Thank you for this and thank you for that. As they go on their way to the priests. But they will not return and fall before the feet of Jesus Christ in repentance and faith as this one did. They keep going with their gifts, never seeing a need to fall on their face. Who are you? Who are you in this account? Every Christian in this room, we were that one. And we fell before him in all of our mess. And he welcomed us. We turned from our sin. He received us. He loved us. We trusted him and he's cleansed us. Or are you like the 9 that have the gifts, that have the mercy, that have the compassion, and you go on with your satchels filled, never going back to the one who gave it? Well, I'm asking like Jesus asked, where are the 9? Are you here? Are you one of the 9? You owe Christ your worship, your all. He is God, he is Lord, he is King, and you have taken his gifts for years. You have walked away with your hands filled. You owe him. You owe him everything. Turn back. Turn back and fall at his feet and worship him. Fall at his feet and repent in faith. And what will you find there? At his feet, you will find forgiveness of all of your sin. You will find his promises granted to you. You'll find his resurrection power at work in you. You will find at his feet such love, such joy, such tenderness and help. You may say, why would I want to be at his feet? It seems so undesirable. But think of it this way. When they were at a distance, they received such mercy. and such kindness. If you receive that at a distance, what will you find at his feet? Come close. You will find a merciful Savior who can do so much more than heal physical leprosy. You will find a Savior who can wash away every stain of sin that is upon you. You can find a Savior who will crush every chain of sin that has bound you. You will find a Savior who is merciful and loving and who will never leave you and never forsake you. You will find a Savior who will walk with you through the trials of this life. You will find a Savior who will be with you through the valley of the shadow of death. And though all forsake you, though you may be in a prison cell, though you may be in a torturous jail, you will find a Savior who is close to you. Do not put off today what is needed. He is there. Go to him, but do it quickly. For remember what Psalm 2 tells us, kiss the Son lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. But here's this beautiful promise. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. The leper's faith in Christ saved him. It will do the same for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving lepers like us. Thank you for washing us and cleansing us and healing us. Thank you for forgiving us, Lord. If there are still lepers in this room, the nine that you asked, where are they? Lord, I pray they would hear your voice asking that question, where are they? And they may run away from the others and fall at your feet in faith and repentance and find a Savior who can do so much more than heal physical illness. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.